Thank you. Let me bring in William Jacobson of LegalInsurrection.com and the Old National Bank Newsmaker Hotline. The conversation about Robert Mueller, the special counsel, the investigation into collusion of the Russians, which has shown absolutely nothing as of yet, took a turn over the weekend when it was revealed that emails that were utilized or written by the Trump transition team, the 73 days between the election and the inauguration, which were housed at the General Services Administration, those emails by the thousands were requested and handed over to Robert Mueller during the investigation. The Trump people are saying, whoa, 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 you've got a Fourth Amendment issue here. You didn't ask for those. You have no right to those. You have to return those. And by the way, did you use any of those as the basis for any part of your investigation and anything else down the line? There's been an argument about whether or not the Trump team has the right to say you violated the president's and the transition team's, if you will, Fourth Amendment rights. There's been a conversation about whether or not anything was done of a criminal or an illegal nature. So I figure I start with the Cornell law professor to answer the big questions. First things first, was the gathering of these emails improper?
I'd say we're in something of a gray area. The transition team, which is a separate entity, a legally separate entity under federal statutes, the transition team, because you can't have two governments in place at the same time, provides that these are, and it's always been the position, including with the Obama transition team, that these are considered private records. They are not considered government records. They're not subject to the Freedom of Information Act, et cetera. And in fact, they were supposed to have been destroyed as a matter of routine. Happens with every incoming transition. But they weren't for some reason. And Mueller's team found out about that. And they requested that the General Services Administration turn them over. They didn't issue a subpoena. They didn't seize them. They didn't send the police in to grab hard drives. The General Services Administration, without telling the transition team, although they allegedly had promised that if there were ever a request for these records, that they would notify the transition team lawyers, who are being incorrectly described as Trump's lawyers. They're not. They're the transition team's lawyers. So they could review things before they're turned over to anybody. Just gave them to Mueller. Really quite astounding. Turned over these records, which have long been recognized as private, to the special prosecutor. Whether that was a violation of the law is where we get into the gray area, because the General Services Administration is disputing that there was a promise to let the Trump transition team lawyers review them, et cetera. But, and whether there's a Fourth Amendment issue, Mueller's position presumably is going to be, we didn't seize anything. We just asked somebody for them and they gave them to us.
But I got to take a step back, William. Go back, because you buried the lead on me, I think. The standard operating procedure of the transition team, which is PTT, right? Presidential Transition Team, PTT.gov emails, is that when the transition is done, the standard operating procedure for Obama, for Bush, for going down the line, is to destroy them?
That's right. And what happened here, according to the transition team lawyers, is that before that happened, there was a congressional request for records. And so that the transition team instructed the General Services Administration, since we have a congressional request, please don't destroy these. So there's nothing nefarious, although it was 2 months after the transition was over. I don't know timing-wise when that's been destruction has taken place in the past. So these were records which should have, in the ordinary course, have been destroyed, as they were with every transition team, but because of according to the lawyers, because of a congressional request, the records were preserved. As part of preserving them, the transition team says they struck a deal with the General Services Administration that before anything was turned over to anybody, that the transition team lawyers would have a chance to review them, whether there's privilege, whether there's other reasons they shouldn't be produced. The person they struck the deal with, allegedly at General Services Administration, became ill and was hospitalized in August. And it's when he was in the hospital and unable to supervise this that, lo and behold, the Mueller team contacts General Services Administration, says, can we have all this stuff? They say, sure. They don't even tell the transition team or their boss, who's in the hospital and now deceased, that they were doing this. So
I swear to you,
thing smells really bad.
William, it's like you're describing a Saturday telenovela on Telemundo. That is a level of surreal that is somehow hard to fathom. Talking to William Jacobson of Legal Insurrection on the Old National Bank Newsmaker Hotline. So we have all of this, all of these odd coincidences that lead to this moment where nothing was seized, but rather it was handed over. Now let's get into the part two. If these emails are considered, as you describe it, personal effects, as opposed to some kind of government record, exactly how could they be used in an investigation? Did they get used in the investigation? How could we find out if they were used in the investigation? And what does that do to people who were questioned or have come into some kind of problem because of these emails?
Well, there are a lot of questions there, but were they used? Absolutely, because the reason we're talking about it now in the middle of December is that the transition team lawyers only just found out about this because documents were used apparently in questioning witnesses or in raising issues with witnesses. And the lawyers are wondering, where did these come from? We didn't know these were turned over. So, yes, they absolutely have been turned over. Nobody was notified that Mueller had them until a few days ago, which is why it's in the news now. So since August or late August or September, whenever precisely they were turned over. And this just goes to the bad faith of it, because why wouldn't you notify the transition team that you're requesting their records? Why didn't General Services Administration at least let them know, hey, we have this request from Robert Mueller. We know we're supposed to clear things with you. What do you want us to do? Maybe we need to get a court to decide this. That would have been the appropriate way of going about it, so that the transition team's expectations of confidentiality. A lot of people are talking about privacy. I'm not sure that's the right term, but certainly these are supposed to be confidential records, private records. It's as if Mueller went to a bank and, not using legal process, not getting a judicial search warrant, not serving a subpoena on notice to the other party, just went to your bank and said, hey, we would like all of Tony Katz's bank records. Would you please give them to us? And your bank says, sure, why not? And we're not even going to tell Tony. I mean, that just is such bad faith. And it gets to what I think is the bigger issue here. These are the sort of tactics that the lawyers who are staffing the Mueller campaign are notorious for. They're notorious for pushing the limit. They've had convictions, high-profile convictions, overturned because of their tactics. And Jonathan Turley, a George Washington law professor, wrote an op-ed saying that this casts a cloud on whatever now happens with these prosecutions. It may end up being that a court says this was okay, but it creates a legal issue. And this is just another cloud on the Mueller investigation. He has staffed his team with anti-Trump people. He has staffed his team with Clinton donors, Hillary Clinton donors. And now we're finding out he's using tactics which, whether or not they're illegal, certainly are underhanded and not the sort of thing you would expect from someone who truly is interested in getting to the truth, as opposed to somebody who just wants a conviction.
Before I let you go, William Jacobson, Legal Insurrection on the Old National Bank Newsmaker Hotline. 30 seconds or less, truly. Everybody wondered whether Trump was going to fire him. President Trump says he's not going to fire him. Would you fire him? Would you fire Robert Mueller?
Oh, boy, that's all right. I don't think I can give you a 30-second question. I think that he never should have been appointed. I don't think they met the statutory standards. I think he has a personal conflict of interest because one of the key witnesses is James Comey, his longtime and close friend. I don't think you should be investigating cases in which your friend is a witness. So I don't know what I would do. All I do know is that I think the special counsel's office has created a taint, whether it's a taint which ends up actually damaging the investigation or whether it's just the appearance of a taint. They certainly have created the appearance that this is not an up and up investigation.
William Jacobson, Legal Insurrection, I appreciate you on the Old National Bank Newsmaker Hotline. Thank you. More coming up. I'm Tony Katz, and let me tell you right now, the weather means you need new windows, and new windows means Universal Windows Direct. And since it's so easy, it's just a phone call away, 317-547-2600. Stop what you're doing and make the phone call right now. You buy one window, you get the next window free, no limits, and 0% financing for 36 months. Also, free installation. Get the free in-home estimate. Let them tell you how easy it is. 317-547-2600 or go to UniversalWindowsIndy.com and you'll be saying, I love my windows.